Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Let me catch a few text messages before I change topics. We're going to move forward in the dippers, but John from Huntsville has texted in and said, if my text line will please reboot. Why does it do this? I'll click on, and then not, it wants to rebuffer right then when I click on somebody. He says, Phil, just letting you know, what are you doing?
No, I was going to read it for you, but you got it.
I got it. I'm good. He says, Phil, just letting you know, Butters is currently in last place with a C+ because he couldn't come up with a name for Trump's VP. And he mentioned Jerry Seinfeld, which everybody should know by now is going to be a major point deduction.
Hilarious.
He's in the next room. We'll holler in there and tell him. Raven from Russellville says, Boudreaux, love it. He said, Butter shall henceforth be known as Boudreaux. It's official. Thanks to all of you. That's cool. Glenn from Bluntsville says, 2024 is like Mr. Rogers' land of make-believe. It's a bad knockoff. Wow. Okay. He is not a fan of... I'll be honest with you. I'm liking 2024 better than 2023. I'll just go ahead and say that. Dustin from Hillsboro says the Democrats had better go with Biden because if the party leadership picks someone else, it won't happen through a democratic process. Isn't that truly the threat to democracy? No, it will. That's not what I'm saying, Dustin. So here's the thing. They can have what's called a floor fight. This is a great point here. Both parties, major parties, can go to their conventions and they can have a floor fight, which means the states that are there that, you know, provide the nominating and the voting on the floor, they usually are all in lockstep by the time they get there, right? The primary has secured the candidate, and all they're doing is now certifying it. And that's what happens at the convention. They are certifying their candidate and then sending back to the states that we as a party have now certified our candidate so it becomes official. But they can have a floor fight. There can be nominations from the floor. And if there's enough, and by the way, it's happened before. I need to go back and look and see when it was, but I do know it's happened before. You can have a floor fight at the convention that can change the outcome of who is going to be on the ballot. The ballots don't go to print until roughly 90 to 100 days prior to the election in the various states. Depends upon their state law. But the reality is, until you certify that name is not on the ballot. You literally have to certify it to the state secretaries of state in every state. So what I'm saying is the process would be part of the democratic process. They would be able to go to a convention and say, we're not doing this. We don't care that he won the elections. He's awful. He's impaired. And by the way, what that also does is it leaves open the ability for if there was truly an impairment. Let's say, I mean, and I'm not trying to wish this on anybody, but let's just say that... tomorrow we found out that Biden was in stage 4 cancer and only given months to live. It would make sense that they would want a process for finding the next person. Now, what do we do with Kamala? Okay, I'm really chasing a rabbit right now, but what would they do with Kamala? I agree with Lee from Huntsville. I don't think they want Kamala. I think they have buyer's remorse on Kamala like nobody's business. I mean, I think right now she is like just, you know, wow, like just... antithetical to what they say they need, want, desire. They're just like, God, she was so awful. Why did we pick her? So what do we do with that? I mean, it's like, you know, just I think what they're going to wind up doing is saying, hey, Kamala, we're getting rid of the ticket, the whole ticket. We're just because at some point they either go with, they just ride it out and accept their fate. Or they recognize that if they want their party to actually have a chance, they have to make wholesale change in the names. I'm not saying their policies change. I'm saying wholesale change in the names. Anyway, something to watch. I don't think it's going to happen right now, but I think that I think if Biden does a horrible job at the debate coming up in a few weeks, and Hunter Biden's problems get much worse, which he's going to trial right now. So if these things begin to escalate in such a way that it is apparent. If Trump is not convicted in New York, Hunter Biden's trial goes really badly and brings out information nobody wants to talk about and they've been trying to suppress. And oh, by the way, Biden goes to his debate and falls asleep on the stage or something, then I think they're going to find somebody new and they'll do it at the convention. Nofre from Lexington says, Gavin Newsom's actually polling worse than Kamala Harris. But he's got great hair, man. Not really. Shane from McCalla says, tell Butters Navy may have a few planes, but Air Force has the coolest ones with the biggest bombs. There you go. And then Jerry from Decatur says, anti-truth equals anti-Christ, and that's George Soros. There you go. All right, I'm going to switch gears now. We're going to jump on into, I'm going to call it audible. We're going to move to Dipper number three there, Big Rig. I'm going to the DEI fizzle. So here's the thing. Diversity, equity, inclusion. Diversity, equity, inclusion. The special words, the magic words, the words that make things happen, the words that preserve our society. This is how we will save us as a people. Diversity, equity, inclusion. Everybody's got to have some DEI, right? All God's children got to have some DEI. Every school board, every corporate boardroom, every outlying office, everybody, certainly every governmental institution, it's all got to have their DEI person or persons, or for that matter, lots of persons. Well, DEI is wearing out its welcome. DEI is, in my opinion, one of the worst things that has ever been allowed to be foisted on our society. I'm really not sure how it got so viral. I mean, how did this whole idea, we gotta get some of that. What does it do? Well, it makes sure that, I don't know, you look like, it's like fairness and things, right? Isn't that all it is? Sure, that's all it is. No, it's a freaking red flag. It's an open door for Pandora's box. It's the way they get every liberal agenda thrown in. It's how you circumvent the processes. Well, we can't discriminate in our hiring. Oh, but the Office of DEI says we got to have more LGBTQ2IA plus acronym people. Oh, okay. DEI said so. Well, you can't discriminate in your firing. Well, but you understand, we've got too many white people. And you got to get rid of some of those because white people they're difficult to deal with. They have a lot of privilege. Really? Didn't know this. Okay. DEI says we got to get rid of the white people. Well, but hey, we're actually going to need, I've been looking around, accountant. I think we need to make sure that we have some more Latinx. Got to have some Latinx. What's a Latinx? That's like Hispanic people. That's what we call them now. Oh, well, why do we got to have them? Well, because, I don't know, DEI says we got to have some. Well, all right, get me some of that Latinx then. All right, we'll get you some Latinx. Next thing you know, they're building a team that can't win a single game. But by God, they have met all their marks, right? Because that's what they do. I think here's what we need. We need some transgender, handicapped Latinx people. Really? Yes, because we can't hire more than a few, so we better pack it all in while we can. Okay, go find me a transgender Latinx in a wheelchair and we'll see what we can do. That's what they'll do. That's the way DEI works. Now, I know there are people out there who will say, no, Phil, DEI is making sure that, you know, bad things don't happen. Not really. DEI, more often than not, is bringing an agenda into place. Let's take a look at one. Here's one from Fox News that came out yesterday. California DEI officer blasted Jesus as a capitalist exploiter. I know this is a single instance example, but it's really not. This is the kind of crap we keep finding. When you hire based on demographics alone, now basically, here's the deal. The laws in this nation do not allow you to not hire people, but they don't mandate that you hire. What do I mean? You cannot look at somebody and tell them, I'm sorry, the color of your skin tells me I can't hire you. I'm not going to hire Pickett. I'm not going to hire black people. Why? Well, I'm just not. Well, I'm sorry, the law says you can't do that. And it's true. Law says you can't choose not to hire someone because they're female. You can't do it. So we have preventative measures already in place through our law that prevent discrimination. It's not enough for them. Liberals need to know they can shut down the things they don't like that to them are far more conservative than they should be. Like Jesus. Oh, really? California city official tasked with fomenting an inclusive environment as part of her role apparently has past remarks that criticize white people and Christians, even describing Jesus as a symbol of capital gain. Really? Her name's Karina Liu. She's the Inclusive Community Engagement Officer for the City of Oakland. Y'all, I kid you not, she not only had authority over every department, she even had authority to help make changes to public safety. That's called the law. That's called law enforcement. So Liu was steeped in critical race theory. She claimed the United States is systemically oppressive, that we must get uncomfortable about examining our implicit biases because this is the inflection point where change occurs. Red flags, big words, mean nothing. In 2019, she posted her animus against what she called white America, believing that the racial group, white people, have a superiority complex and a pathology. Okay. She also advanced her beliefs about whiteness and Christianity. She even went on to say that the phrase Jesus saves is a double entendre, meaning that Jesus was a tool used to enslave minds and dismantle indigenous traditions for capital gain. Shut up. Listen, under her watch, where she was also impacting public safety, crime in Oakland went up 18% year over year the last few years. Violent crime increased by 21%, property crime by 17%. 200 businesses shut their doors and left. But they had a DEI officer. How did she get the job, by the way? What did they do, any kind of vetting? I guarantee you what they did was they looked at her and goes, well, she's Asian. That's good, right? We need an Asian. Do we need an Asian? Let's get an Asian in here. What are we going to call her? I don't know. Call her the Inclusive Community Engagement Officer. That sounds cool. What's it going to do? It's going to screw things up, but at least we'll cover all the bases. Okay. How about this one? Cornell University. Big Rig, you got to let me run, brother. We got to take a break. I'm just sitting here looking. You're just staring at me like I'm like I got three eyes.
Sometimes you just get going and I just let you go.
I'm on a roll, man. I was ready to take this next one and just run with it, but I better take a break. We'll take the break right now. We'll come right back. And Big Rig will let me back on the air and I'll take this next story about Cornell University basically not hiring people who don't conform. What? Yes. It's like Mao's in charge. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We're right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. I'm saying, bringing all the truth. And you can put that on a bumper sticker. I'm talking about DEI. And by the way, my dipper's called the DEI fizzle. I'm going to get to the fizzle here in a minute. But I'm giving you a few examples of some of the harm and the ridiculousness that accompanies these DEI offices and DEI policies. Because keep in mind, we already have laws that prevent discrimination, right? We do. We already have laws. But what we don't have is an office that mandates that you hire someone because of their gender identity. Oh. What we also don't have is an office that mandates that you participate in training that tells you that you have white privilege and requires you to take privilege walks. Listen, there is nothing about the DEI offices that was not already being met by the HR department. The HR department was literally making sure that we stayed in line with existing law. And keep in mind that DEI is not law. In fact, DEI is being banned in multiple states now because it was not in line with state or federal law. Example of some things that happened, like Cornell University. Got a story here from the New York Post, came out, 2 days ago. Cornell University is, quote, corrupting its science, math, and engineering programs by using DEI policies to reject a huge portion of candidates for faculty jobs merely because their views are deemed counter to the school's left-leaning ideological orthodoxy. What? Yes. They're being given tests that if you don't agree with certain policies or things that the school says that their left-leaning policies stand for, they reject you. Doesn't matter how good an engineer you are. Doesn't matter whether you have a great resume of being a published, you know, scholar. Doesn't matter whether or not you were tenured at another university and you're moving over to Cornell. No, they'd rather not have you if you're not going to get on board with DEI. That's where we are. DEI, without major reforms, it says, Cornell faces increasing risk of legal jeopardy, reputational damage, and loss of academic legitimacy. We urge the university to act before it's too late. And they go on to say here, DEI is not leveling the playing field. It's literally heavily tilting it in favor of left-leaning policies and people. All right, That being said, we are seeing right now what I'm calling the DEI fizzle. It's like a wet fuse, a damp fuse on a firecracker. You light that thing and it sputters, and then it kind of just drops off, and it just fizzles out. You never get the big bang. Very frustrating. If you love fireworks like I do, it's very frustrating to have a damp fuse. The big DEI fizzle, though, is happening nationwide as people more and more are thinking, this has got to stop. Now, mostly it's red states like Alabama. But what you're seeing right now is, for instance, a story here from the Washington Times, dated 3 days ago. Diversity, equity, and inclusion programs are crumbling under the weight of state pressures, legal threats, and a growing sense that dividing people up by race is actually doing more harm than good. You think? I mean, when you constantly tell people they're bad or they're victims or they're oppressed or they're oppressors because of their skin color or because they choose to actually follow their faith and not get on board with transgenderism. I mean, when your office is designed to divide people as opposed to unite them, but it's about inclusion, you're not including anybody. You're putting them in little boxes. And oh, by the way, you're throwing some of the boxes out because they don't fit your agenda. At least 158 colleges, says the Washington Times, in 22 states have now scaled back their DEI footprints since January of 2023. Their actions include eliminating DEI offices, banning diversity statements, laying off staff. It's called the assault on DEI. But I'm okay with that. Yay! Bring it on! The vast majority of the shutdowns are in conservative-leaning states. Officials have used executive orders, legislation, state board of education policies, or even budget cutbacks to target what Florida Governor Ron DeSantis calls discrimination, exclusion, and indoctrination. I love that. DEI, discrimination, exclusion, and indoctrination. States where the DEI has been hit the hardest, according to this, there's Florida, Texas, Utah, Wyoming. You've also seen changes made in places like Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Idaho, Iowa, and others. Listen, when we get back, I'm going to tell you more about the fizzle. Like you might be interested to know, a new story came out today saying that the very first university in Alabama has done away with this DEI office. And I'll tell you which one. And no, John from Huntsville, it's not Auburn. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I'll tell you who else covers a lot of ground. That's our friends at Southern Immediate Care. So Southern Immediate Care is a chain of clinics that covers a lot of ground across North Alabama, places like Gadsden, Anniston, Etowah, six more locations around the Birmingham area. And oh yeah, they will see all ages. I mean, I like to say it's like pediatric up to geriatric. They'll see all of them. And they're open 7 days a week. And they actually have long hours. So listen, you get sick on a Saturday morning, or for that matter, the kids get sick on a Saturday morning. Do you wait till Monday? No, Southern Immediate Care. And by the way, this is who I use personally. It is. I personally use the one in the Gadsden area. And folks, I'm going to tell you right now, every time I've been clean, professional, friendly, I don't use them because they advertise. I've been using them for quite a long time. And I asked them, because I could brag on this, would they be willing to? And they said, yep. Turns out they're owned by a Right Side ruffian. So anyway, what I'm saying is this. You need medical attention. Look up Southern Immediate Care. Find the location nearest to you. Head on down and tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Hey, Thomas from Athens has texted in. He says, what time is the Athens Memorial Museum thing that you're emceeing? I'm actually the speaker at it. Thomas, thanks for that. So, yeah, Monday, Memorial Day, 11 a.m., I believe, at the Alabama Veterans Museum, which is a great museum, by the way. If you've not seen it, I got my first tour when I spoke there at a Saturday morning coffee clatch. Just really cool. Loved it. But yeah, it's the Alabama Veterans Museum in Athens, 11 o'clock Monday morning. I'm the keynote speaker. Looking forward to being there with the hundreds who show up and honoring those who have gone before us and given their all. So anyway, look forward to seeing all of y'all that are going to be there. And if you want to come on down, come on down. All right, we're wrapping this dipper here, the DEI fizzle. So I mentioned a minute ago that DEI is beginning to fade from its illustrious past. I mean, people are like, this sucks. Why do we do this? Why are our tax dollars paying for this? And oh, by the way, why are corporations, why are we, look, you can't keep doing this. Well, state of Alabama actually passed a law. In fact, I just saw a moment ago. Let's see if it comes up. I lost it here. Where was that? Senator Greg Reed, who's the pro tem of the Alabama State Senate, just made mention on his social media that he is, he said, God's made us all in unique and wonderful ways, but our schools should be focused on teaching and student educational outcomes, not for advocacy. I'm proud the Senate passed important legislation to ban divisive concepts. He says that in relation to an AL.com story about what I'm about to tell you about the fact that state universities are now compelled to have to shut down their DEI offices. Whoop, whoop. First one out the gate, 1819 News reports as of today, Jacksonville State University. So Jacksonville State University, their president, Don Killingsworth, who's a really good guy, by the way, Jacksonville State University will close its Office of Diversity and Inclusion next week after the state legislature banned taxpayer-funded diversity, equity, and inclusion offices and training in March. The new law prohibits state agencies, schools, and colleges from sponsoring or requiring students or employees to attend or participate in DEI program, training, orientation, or coursework. The office only had two employees, which is pretty small by comparison to some others. But DEI President Don Killingsworth said, we're a welcoming and inclusive environment, and we're going to reassign those employees to other things. But the DEI office is gone at JSU. Go Gamecocks. It's not just in schools. It's rampant in federal government because the Biden administration is not going to do away with it. And until we either A, see a change in the House and the Senate that can get something across a president's desk, it's going to continue like this. And it needs to stop. But one of the things we're looking at right now, a story here off the Center Square, Dateline 3 days ago. Recently, the Department of Defense asked for more than $100 million for DEI initiatives. $100 million.
You know what we can do with that?
Dude, we can do with half of that.
A quarter of that?
Yes. Too easy.
10% of that.
I'll go with 10%. The things we could do with Right Side, listen, Daily Wire started off with a mere $4 million. They are now a $200 million company 7 years later.
Wow.
Talk to me. All right. So the Department of Defense recently asked for more than $100 million for DEI initiatives at a time when they can't recruit to save their lives, save our lives. So a number of lawmakers recently wrote a letter to the Defense Advisory Committee on Diversity and Inclusion Chair, General Retired Lester Lyles, expressing their concern that DEI was a distraction. You think? And hurting recruitment. You think? The letter said, quote, DOD's emphasis on diversity and inclusion over mission effectiveness and capability concerns our nation's national security. So the letter, by the way, came from a group called STARS, of which I'm a member of the advisory board, national organization called STARS. Stands for Stand Together Against Racism and Radicalism in the Services. I was recently appointed to their board of advisors and really proud of it. But STARS recently assembled over 1,000 unsolicited comments from military service members and veterans that said that they weren't even comfortable sending their kids into the military right now because of all the DEI policies. Now, listen, I'm not there yet. I have family on active duty right now. I believe it's still an honorable profession, but I get it. I get why they're saying this, because DEI is ruining things. DEI doesn't help stuff. DEI does nothing but tear things down. DEI doesn't tell you why you can win. DEI tells you why you're not ever going to win because of who you are. DEI is the one that tells you that you didn't get here because you earned it. It's not about merit. It's because you have privilege. DEI is the one that says, well, it's more important that we allow someone to come in and claim they're transgender so they can upset the balance, you know, in the barracks. And oh, by the way, be non-deployable while we get them, you know, transitioned on the government taxpayer dime. This is madness. But like I said, the thing that gets me though is I think just a few years ago, this letter would not have gone out. It wouldn't have. I think the DEI fizzle is underway. All these colleges around the nation are shutting them down. And now you've got, where'd that story go? Hang on, I got a few more here. Let me pull this out. Yeah, I love this one. Dateline 4 days ago, I pulled this off of AJC.com. UPS and Coca-Cola and Home Depot all have shareholders that are presenting anti-DEI proposals at their upcoming shareholder meetings. Whoop, whoop. I'm telling you, the pushback is coming. By the way, what's a shareholder? Shareholder is somebody who has a profit stake in the company. They have an investment. They want to see a return on their investment. They are a shareholder. And when the corporation acts contrary to their best interests, they have a right to speak out. And they are. They put here, as diversity programs in corporate America face increasing legal challenges. Yay! Shareholders of three publicly traded Atlanta corporations have now demanded changes around diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. This is off the Atlanta Journal-Constitution website, by the way. The move comes after a U.S. Supreme Court ruling in June of last year effectively ended race-conscious college admissions. 60% of the C-suite executives surveyed by employment law firm Littler said backlash to corporate diversity programs has increased since that ruling. Well, yeah, exactly, man. Here's the bottom line. The Supreme Court said don't do it in colleges anymore, and corporate boardrooms have to go, oh, well, if they can't do it, we might want to rethink this, fellas, because it's only a matter of time before that kind of a ruling comes out about us. Recent court cases in Tennessee and Texas, it says, have forced changes to federal business diversity programs. High-profile racial discrimination case involving local black-owned venture firms Fearless Fund is still winding its way through the courts. Bottom line is this. Shareholders have had it. They're tired of seeing the value of their shares go down for stupid stuff. They're tired of seeing woke commercials. They're tired of seeing their product lines and the services their company offers wrapped up in things that have nothing to do with profit. They're tired of seeing hiring policies in the corporations that wind up leading to more accidents and problems because they don't hire the best person for the job. They hire the one that looks good for the DEI. All I'm saying is this. I think DEI is starting to fizzle, y'all. I do. And I'm glad of it. You're going to watch here in the next few days. University of North Carolina is about to drop the University of North Carolina system. It's bigger than the UA system. The University of North Carolina system spends, here's a story from Washington Examiner. Wait for it. How much do they spend? Almost as much as the Pentagon. $90 million annually. $90 million across the University of North Carolina systems for diversity, equity, and inclusion staff members. $90 million across the various UNC campuses. My gosh. Is there anybody teaching a class or are they all working in the DEI offices? But here's the thing. The UNC Chapel Hill Board of Trustees just voted to divert $2.3 million off of DEI funding to public safety. And you're also about to see, perhaps, the UNC trustees overall say it is time to be done with DEI. Why? Because that sucker's a wet fuse, man. You're not going to get the big bang. The DEI fizzle's underway, in my opinion. And that's nothing but good news for America. All right, we're taking a break right now. Last break of the day. We'll take it and we'll come right back and put a lid on it. Been a good show. Been a good double dipper day with some Butters and Lee thrown in. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Wow. Making common sense like a superpower. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Making it cool to be a conservative. Put all that on the bumper sticker. A couple of quick text messages. Pete from Decatur says, I should add this particular school stood up against DEI when they were tested. Wait, which particular school? He's talking about, oh, he said, my son's on active duty right now. I missed the first text. And we agreed that he should go to one of the senior military colleges rather than the academy, in part due to DEI and the other woke policies and federal government's infecting the academy. He said, I should add this particular school stood up against DEI when they were tested. A Muslim woman applied and asked for a uniform waiver for her religious garb, and the school declined. And they got a lot of heat, and I worried about it, but they stood up and said no, and the uniform is the uniform. If you don't want to wear it, don't come here. Wow. Pete, I won't say it on the air, but text me later on. Tell me what school that was. Chris from Priceville says, my 17-year-old wants to join the military, but as a combat veteran, I have my reservations, proudly served from 04 to 2010. Chris, I will be honest with you. I think he wants to join the military because he saw you. Let me just encourage you to encourage him to go in and make a change from within if there's something to change. But I think a lot of the rank and file is still as rock solid as it has been. And we need more folks like your son who saw something in the generation before them that made them want to be a part of it. Let me jump on the phones real quick. Jeffro from Indiana. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm coming into Nashville, so we'll see.
But at the very least, you're still moving for now, right?
For now.
What do you think about all this? I've talked about DEI and I've talked about George Soros. Which one do you want to chat on?
DEI, of course, Phil. Because
come on,
you just don't like DEI because your score would be next to zero, man. I mean, you are a cis white male. You've had five producers who were white, one female, four males, all Christian, all white. Anybody that fills in for you has been white, has been Christian, has been cis. You haven't had any LGBTQ whatever plus ampersand people fill in for anything.
I'm just bad. I'm bad all around. But by the way,
that's right.
You don't know. Maybe Big Rig is black. You don't know that. He could be. It's radio. You never can tell.
Or maybe I identify as a hamster.
There you go.
I don't know, man. DEI. By the way, how well is DEI going to work if like say the NFL said we're gonna have players based on DEI policies? How many teams are going to be winning games at that point?
Well, I think they should. I mean, you know, they're all woke about everything and stuff, so they should follow their policies as far as the players goes. As far as, you know, if they're, you know, they don't want to stand for the flag, they don't want to do a lot of other things. So, you know, I believe what goes around comes around.
Yeah, well, we'll see. But I guarantee you, ain't nobody going to be trying to find the inclusive team. They're trying to find the team that wins. And that's the thing is you look at this and it fails. When you look at it in terms of a success or not, DEI is fizzling for a reason because it fails at every turn. Did Pete from Decatur just call you a hamster? What did he just say? Well, he's got a text message. He
says, Pete from Decatur just said if Big Rig identifies as a hamster, he might also be gay.
Okay, there's that. That's where. All right, the text messages are about to get out of control.
If he starts identifying as a hamster, you know you'll have to insert a wheel in the office.
That's how we power the studio. Turn that wheel exactly. A little more. Give him a little grain pellet, so he'll feel like strong enough to go ahead and turn the wheel.
That's right. But yeah, I mean, how long will it be before we have a trans NFL player? I mean, you know. Hey, there could be a girl out there as a kicker that turned into a man, and she can kick. You never know.
Or maybe we'll have just the opposite. Maybe we'll have a dude that now wants to play in the WNBA. How about that?
That's possible.
It's, hey, diversity, equity, and inclusion, right? Why not?
I can't see nothing wrong with that at all. If, you know, they want to live by these policies, let them die by these policies.
I'm pretty sure, though, here's the thing, I'm being serious. I'm pretty sure that DEI is going to get people killed. DEI in the military, get people killed. DEI, like men playing in women's sports, get people killed. I think sooner or later, we're going to wind up seeing that thing happen that tips people back to reality who for some reason, needed to be shaken first.
I don't know. It's going to be a while. I mean, you know, Biden is president, so we got half the people in this country are idiots. So, you know, you got to look what you got.
All right, brother. Hey, listen, be safe on the road. I'm up against the hard time. I'm going to have a few texts, and I'm going to call it done. But you be safe, all right?
Thank you, Bill. Have a good one.
See ya. Barry Mathen says, if Big Rig may identify as a logging truck, Well, I don't know what that means, but okay.
We know Big Rig.
It's a Big Rig. Yeah. Now I get it. All right. Yeah. John from Huntsville says, Big Rig gets an A-plus for his fantastic performance. Phil gets an A-double-plus for his spectacular performance. But the winner is Lee from Huntsville with an A-triple-plus. Congratulations. Your prize for winning is a positive comment about Nick Saban. Says, I just want to say that Nick Saban is the greatest football coach of all time, which means I should be very proud of myself because I have the same amount of Super Bowl wins as Nick Saban. Zero.
John's pretty funny.
Nice. Gary from Decatur says American Airlines was going to subscribe to DEI for pilot diversity. I'm flying up north next month on American. You can bet I'll be looking to see who's driving the bus. No doubt. And then last one of the day, Raven from Russellville says DEI. Yep. I had the privilege to go to a faraway land and be shot at for 26 months and come back to a country that didn't want me and work my butt off to take care of my family. I'm awful privileged, all right. By the way, welcome home, Raven. All right, listen, we have an amazing audience. I love the fact that the audience participates in the show as much as I do. And you guys make it worth my time. You make it worthwhile. You make it like more rewarding than I could possibly describe. There's a reason why Big Rig and I sit here every day, and it's not because we like to hear ourselves talk. It's because we love y'all. Have an amazing night. We're back here tomorrow. See you then.